Happy Tuesday. Today is Tuesday, December the 27th, 2022. Today's daily Bible readings come to us from Psalm 148, Proverbs 8, 22 through 31, and then 1 John 5, 1 through 12. I'm going to look at 1 John 5, 1 through 12, mainly because I did the Psalm yesterday, and the other one's Proverbs, and it just kind of says what it kind of says. So I'm going to look at 1 John. Not really so much that I'm gonna like get into depth about like, you know, deep spiritual meanings about 1 John. I'm actually ended up using it today as a way to ask you what your Bible says. What does your Bible say? So it's a common question that you'll hear if you're ever, you know, well, in a world full of Bible translations, you're gonna hear that question. And especially when there's even more coming out every year, it seems like. And most often, the disagreements are over points of translation. And in general, my experience is like the people that notice these differences don't really understand that or think about it in that way. But that's what it's coming from. So, say you're in a Bible study or you're in a Sunday school class, and you got a bunch of people all reading the same text but from different translations. You'll see people will notice some differences. So, you know, most often they're just disagreements over these kind of minuscule points of translation, right? So one group of translators, they felt that a word in Greek or Hebrew should be translated this way, and then the editorial committee for another translation felt like the translation for the word needed to go this way, because there are editorial decisions that have to be made when you're translating these words, right? It's not like a one-to-one ratio, and I've talked about this before, right? You know, so if you can have a Greek word or a Hebrew word, but you go and you look it up and the way it's used throughout language, and it works this way for English too, right? And there's multiple definitions for it, and you kind of have to look and see what the context is, how it's been used before. But then at some point, somebody has to make an editorial decision about how that word's going to be translated. So that one translation committee decides this way, one translation committee decides that way. That's why you can have differences from one translation to another, and that is why you should compare several translations if you're interested in a serious study, right? Don't just have one Bible. You know, it's not like generations ago where a family was lucky to have one Bible, right? You can go get them for free, right? If you need a Bible, talk to me. I can get you a Bible like for free, especially if you don't mind having a used one, right? And here's the thing, right? You should have multiple translations if you're interested in a serious study. And in this age of online Bibles, right, you have no excuse not to do that, right? You can go to whatever Bible dot whatever, and just on your screen, lay out multiple translations. Put in one verse, and it'll throw up like all the major English translations, how that verse shows up, and you can compare them all. And that's what you should be doing. You have no excuse not to. And because, especially, here's the thing: those differences where, you know, maybe one translation committee went this way and the other went this way, those often bear a huge amount of fruit when you are doing your study. Those can lead to really rewarding times in study, because it forces you to ask the question, well, what does my Bible say, and which one of these ways do I tend more towards, and why, right? And then you start looking into, like, well, why did they decide to do this, and why did they decide to do that? And I will say this, though, as it is, I've read most of the major English translations at this point in my life. And I think it's safe to say that they are more radically the same than they are radically different ever. I mean, I'll be in a Sunday school class, and there'll be a point over, you know, well, why does this say this, and this says this? And at the end of the day, functionally, they're pretty much saying the same thing. It's just a different way, a little bit different way of saying it. But sometimes, though, some of the most serious differences I've seen really can be pretty radical, and that gets us to where we are today. For instance, the text for today from 1 John 5, specifically verses 7 and 8, they can differ radically based on which tradition your translation is coming from. And I'm not speaking of your church tradition, although that might play a role in it. I mean translation traditions, right? So our current English translations generally fall into one of two categories for us in, you know, the English-speaking world. Either going to come out of the King James lineage, think like the KJV and the New King James Version, right? So those, and then there's a whole bunch that modern translations after that follow along the line of the King James Version in that tradition. Not probably as closely as the NKJV, but pretty close. And then there's the non-KJV lineage, right? So safer to say, and it's not that they don't look back to the King James at all, because let me say this before you think I'm just trashing the King James Version. Some of the best English prose ever written is in that Bible. And even modern translators, even if they're not going to follow directly on the heels of that tradition, they will take cues from that language if they want their Bible to be readable and sound good. So it's the non-KJV, non-King James lineage. Safer to say, it's those who rely on the Latin Vulgate of Jerome as their primary source. So like the King James Version, the New King James Version, which really is more like a paraphrase, modernized English of the King James. And then something like Douay Rheims, which was the Catholic Church's answer to all these English Bibles that the Protestants were putting out. So there's that tradition, and then there's those who rely on, you know, access to the earliest Greek and Hebrew texts available, right? So like if you can find the earliest manuscripts that we can place them within that first 100 years or so, we're going to use those as our basis, right? And that's a whole nother talk for a whole nother day, because the way that they put that together is incredible. So anyway, so that's the two main traditions that these kind of fall in. And I know it's taken a lot of time, but just be patient. So what John said, what's going on here? So today's reading, in a more modern translation, like the NRSV says, verse 7, there are three that testified this, and then verse 8 says, the spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. And so it's a text about the truth of who Christ is, and how, you know, how the spirit and the water and the blood testify to that truth, right? But when John Wesley took up his pen in 1775 to preach on that same text in 1 John, he used the King James Version, right? So good old King James Version. Why? Because he was a priest in the Church of England, and that's what he was supposed to use. But his Bible said this, verse 7, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. That's verse 7, right? So for Wesley, looking at that text, the text becomes a sermon on the Trinity. Matter of fact, that's how I came across it, because I was like, you know, let's look and see what, you know, John Wesley and Charles Wesley may have said about this, or how they have used it. And sure enough, this is the key text for a sermon on the Trinity and the existence of the Trinity, and like scriptural proof for the existence of the Trinity. Now you'll just have to trust me on this, but that language that we see in the King James Version here, that's not how it shows up in the Greek. In the Greek, the words that are used are the words for water and blood and spirit, right? So that's pretty definitely different. So that's not how it shows up in the Greek. It is, however, how it shows up in Jerome's Latin translation of 1 John. And consequently, any English translation that relies on it. So when Jerome was putting together his Latin translation of the Christian scriptures, there was a really radical editorial shift that he made, some decision he made, and radically changed that text. And so anything that followed after it, such as the King James and the Douay Rheims, which was, like I said, the official Roman Catholic English translation for a long time, they followed down that road. And that's why you can have two Bibles that look radically different at that point. So why? Who's right? That's beyond me to say, especially in a short little video here, although I'm pushing 10 minutes. Haven't done that in a long time. And besides, you're intelligent enough to, you know, to hit up a good library and learn more about this on your own. Hint. You can do that. You can go out and you do your own research. I'm not talking about Google. Don't take the lazy man's way out. Just go out. Spend a good afternoon. Go on these new libraries. They'll give you coffee and a book card and go have a good time. Let's just say that. It's beyond me at this time to say that, but I think it says something that pretty much all of the modern translations, and even those that claim the King James Version tradition, have gone with the Greek translation over the Vulgate at this point. And you'll see that from time to time. They'll kind of skew and they'll go, okay, we're going to go with this. Even the New Jerusalem Bible, which is the more modern choice for Roman Catholics, has departed from Jerome's Vulgate on this. It's in that tradition. So, like I said, there are lots of translations out there. Take advantage of that. Use them all. Use the King James. Use the NRSV. Use all the newer ones. And compare them and make them fight it out, right? For supremacy. And then, like I said, there's lots of good libraries out there. Take advantage of those and learn for yourself. Anyway, that's the DVR for today. Get out, enjoy the day. We'll see you tomorrow. Boop.